To everyone's surprise, Dragon Ball is back on top and it's made a lot of money. Let's talk about that.
Ta-da! Magneto, it's back on top? There's no way, dude. There's no way.
Dude.
We did it.
We did it, man.
Without a doubt, this is all those Funko Pops you and I have been buying.
It's the Funko Pops. It's the $18 DLC.
Yeah, that one actually probably is real.
It's watching Daima week to week. It's all the things have made it to where Dragon Ball is back to being Toei's most successful in terms of a monetary, at least, standpoint, IP that they own. Back over One Piece. Now, not by much based on these reports. The last quarter that they've reported, Dragon Ball made $123 million while One Piece made $119 million. Now, if you would believe some people online, you would think that they definitely wish that One Piece was even more successful than it is, as if $119 million is not a very successful franchise. But it does feel like the way they treat Dragon Ball. I know we're getting Daima, and we are talking about Dragon Ball Daima today. What's up? Welcome to Key Moments. My name's Nano. That's Dotto. But you would think, based on the way they treat it, in most cases, they really want One Piece to be an even bigger property than it already is. Like, they really probably almost wish, to me, and I'm kind of one of these people, they wish Dragon Ball wasn't still as successful as it actually is. Do you feel that way or no? Do you disagree?
Who? Wait, what? Say that
Toei.
Again?
I'm speaking specifically of Toei. Toei feels like they wish One Piece was even... I'm saying One Piece is still really successful, but I think they wish it was even that much more successful than Dragon Ball. Like, I think there are people there that definitely wish Dragon Ball would stop being so popular, and it just continues to be. Yes.
I guess, I mean, I don't know their internal structure or anything like that.
No, none of us do. This is mostly just like, you know.
You're just guessing.
Yeah. This is mostly just conspiracy theory type stuff. But, you know, it does make you wonder. With how successful this entire property continues to be year over year without it getting really that much love, you wonder why that we don't. And I know if you really dive into the back end of it all, it's like crazy fighting over, you know, probably who gets this money, that money, what to do with the IP and all of that. And of course, you know, with the passing of Akira last year, probably made it more complicated. But like, you would think people could come to some agreeance just to get Super back on the air. Like, the fact that we are now approaching 7 years with Dragon Ball Super having been off air in March of this year, and just literally a month and a half, that's crazy, Dotto. Like,
I would agree it is crazy. I feel like, honestly, I think they just like making money. I just genuinely think, and I've been to the point of, like, I bring it up every week now on this podcast. I think when it just comes to Japanese companies and, like, how, like, you know, business and like IP is in America, it's like two different things, dude. Like, America, we just milk and milk and milk until the fucking cows run dry, dude.
This
but
is true.
In Japan, at least with anime, at least with the stuff I like, they, don't get me wrong, they can milk it, right? They'll milk, but just like, at least with Dragon Ball, I don't even think it comes from any sort of thing. I just genuinely think they just believe it'll print money if they just do nothing.
And
if they do nothing, it will print money. And they're right to think that. But also, why not print more money? I don't know. Maybe that's just the capitalist in me talking. But there's a chance we could be making serious bank here. We should probably do that. But, hey, you know what? Maybe now that it's back on top, we'll get even more stuff. Because, I could use Super back, or at least the manga, dude. Like, have you seen the releasing that one shot?
Yeah, the one shot of why Gogeta and Trunks want to be superheroes.
Oh, brother. I just genuinely could not even pretend to give a fuck. I'll read it. I will read it. But, oh, brother, can I please get some food, dude? Please. I am starving, my guy. Please. And it was like Captain Toothbrush Man or something, too. I just, I can't do it. Also, I do want to say this. Because I have defended Toyotaro's art, because I think he draws pretty good, and I think a lot of fans on like Twitter and stuff are just kind of bitching to bitch sometimes. But I don't like the way this guy draws, like, everybody like they're in a muscle tight suit, like Captain Toothbrush or whatever his name actually was. It's just like he has a million muscles on his body, A million, dude. It's like he's like he looks like there was an old Newgrounds animated that did, like, Toss the Turtle games. I think it started with a G.
He gave me Tick vibes.
Tick? Yeah, no, you're right. Like he, I don't know. He just, I don't like the way the Tick looks either, to be honest. But
yeah, I get what you mean. Like he very much so studied muscular anatomy for drawings, and he really likes to show that off. Like,
yes,
all the time. At every point possible. Like, he really, really likes defining muscles.
Just going back to it, the artist I was thinking of from Toss the Turtle, very talented artist, very big artist, very internet-defining artist for his time, Gonzo SSM. You almost certainly know his work, but I'm going to post something in Discord for you, Nano. This is what every Toyotaro, like, muscly drawing looks like to me. Like, it just all looks like this.
Okay.
It's like, dude, there is just like, there's no need for the guy to have 1,000. Like, that's what Venom looks like. Venom can kind of pull it off because he's like a symbiote, like, but like a human being? Damn, dude.
Well, these aren't human. Well, I guess this superhero is a human.
Yeah, the superhero probably is, but.
But Goku is not a human, man. He's a Saiyan.
To be fair, I don't think Goku, I don't think he's really done it bad. Mostly like, Jiren, he hams it up a lot. Just characters like that. And the toothbrush guy was just another example. But that was my artist rant. Other than that, I think he draws pretty cool stuff.
Do you think that this ends with any type of teaser for anything? I've seen that. I've seen
Daima?
I've seen that go around. Like, and I think it's mostly jokes. But do you think there's a world where they end this with some sort of teaser?
No.
Yeah, same. I think it's full coat, man. This ends with Goku. Like flying off in the sky, and that's it. Like this is.
I do hope we get a different. I would like a different the outro. With GT, don't get me wrong. I cried. Super, I got a little emotional. But I kind of just, I don't want the goodbye for now outro again. Like, let me get something different, you know?
But truly though, what if, Nato? It goes black and it feels like it's ending. And we're like, wait, there's no way it's been 23 minutes or, you know, however long the finale is. And then it comes back on and you see like a Moro grin. And then it ends and it says coming like spring 2026 or something. Like, how, like, are you losing it?
Losing it might be a bit, I'd be excited. But also if they said 2026, I would genuinely throw my phone against the wall.
Why? Because but, what, dude,
2026?
Watching Dragon Ball Daima.
We just started 2025.
Well, yeah, but watching Dragon Ball Daima and knowing that it had so much, you know, actual pre-production, and that's why it looks the way it does, and every episode has just been like very beautiful, and there's been no bad episodes, like in terms of the actual animation. And so, like, saying spring 2026, I think is well within the realm of possibility. If like in this really like Doctor Strange ass like one timeline type thing where this even were to happen, I think they would probably give it some pre-production. I just don't imagine it would be like summer 2025 and they're back to like the animators like found out 2 weeks ago that they're having to make Dragon Ball Super weekly again and it starts in like 4 months.
You know? I definitely don't want that. If they like said it would be seasonal and shit, like then maybe that would change my tune. 2026 would be far off.
I just don't think they would let Dragon Ball be seasonal, even though that makes the most sense and that would be like the way we'd get the absolute best product. I think they would just treat it like a One Piece, and it would need to be weekly if it came back again. Like,
I mean, the thing with One Piece though is they really like one. I'm not even talking this nothing to do with the quality of the show because it is weekly and it's all canon. But I just watching One Piece to me, or at least the episodes I've tried to watch, and these are more like mid stage, late stage One Piece stuff that I didn't grow up watching. It's like the opening is a 5-minute music video. The middle is like a recap. And then it's like 5 minutes of the episode. And then the outro is like 3-4 more minutes. It's like, dude.
I need to watch a One Piece episode to see what the hell you're talking about.
I swear to God, dude, if you watch a random like mid-chord or late One Piece, it'll be like the whole opening. I don't know. Maybe I just watched a bad one. I asked my roommate who's a One Piece fan. I was like, do they play this opening every episode? He said, yeah. I was like, no fucking way. It was so long that it was like, you remember today. So if you watched our reaction, you know, but in today's episode of Daima, they do the whole intro, then the whole Daima intro. Then they show us a little bit of a flashback. And we were like, wow, it's been 3 minutes. In One Piece, I'm pretty sure it would be like 4 minutes before the intro stopped, at least.
Interesting.
Maybe I'm just hating.
Outside of watching clips that went viral on Twitter, like there was a Zoro fight that I watched, and of course, Gear 5. I know nothing about One Piece, and I've never watched an episode of One Piece, so I know absolutely nothing about that series. So I couldn't even commentate on that. But yeah, you just mentioned it. You can watch our reaction to today's episode of Dragon Ball Daima, as well as get tons of bonus podcasts, like genuine, full-on podcasts that are only available currently to our key members by clicking the join button here on YouTube or going to patreon.com/keymoments, link down below in the description, to become a key member, support the podcast, make Dotto coming out to the Santa Monica studio even remotely possible, all those things. Thank you guys for all the incredible support here on the podcast. Dotto, anything else you want to mention before we dive into today's episode? I had one more thing I wanted to bring up.
No, I'll bring up your thing.
Multiverses, and I'm only bringing this up because we've actually talked about this game multiple times on this podcast. It wasn't just the Game Awards. I feel like that game has come up a few times here on the last, like, closing in on a year and a half of doing this podcast. That game is shutting down, if you guys haven't seen it. They're doing one final season, and then I believe it said May of this year, that game is going offline. Now, they were cheeky enough in this announcement to say for the foreseeable future, as if this game has any chance of ever going back online after it goes offline.
I don't know who's running things over there. And I tweeted this as well after you told me, because Nano had to break the news to me. I thought this game, and we've talked about this, had the slimiest move of all time that somehow the internet let them get away with. I will never get it, bro. Them pretending that their beta was a beta after taking money. I'm sorry, dude. That is actually crazy. They took microtransaction money, shut down, came back, and they just tried to make everybody believe that it was just like, oh yeah, we're back and that's a cool thing. They added the worst characters of all time.
Yeah.
We were just discussing it. You've got access to everybody that you could possibly imagine.
WB's properties are pretty insane.
Yeah, if you don't know and you're just listening to this podcast, go look it up. Look up what they own the rights to. I looked it up when Multiverse came out, and I was shocked. They basically own half the world. And they added Gizmo. Yeah, that's his name, right? The little gremlin?
Well, not only that. Yeah, we were talking about the first sort of like DLC character. So just, you know, just to sort of add a little bit of meat here to this, here was the base roster. Wonder Woman, Tom and Jerry, Superman, all actually, these are great picks. I think these are all actually solid picks for a WB multiverse platform fighter. Steven Universe, is that a good pick? No, I don't really know Steven Universe like that. That's probably better for a newer audience.
I don't, but I think, yeah, it's for a different crowd.
Shaggy, good pick. Rain Dog was like their one singular...
that was like a industry plant. Yeah, who cares?
They made that, but cool, whatever. I'm not going to like dock points for that. Make your own custom character. It's cool. Jake the Dog, good pick. What is that? It's Adventure Time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then that show's like huge. Again, a little bit after my time, but still, I'm aware of that show. Harley Quinn, great pick. Garnet, which is another Steven Universe character. I don't know that you needed to double dip into that same IP, but I think Steven Universe is a fairly big IP, so I'm not going to dock points here.
Yeah. I'm not even like, at some point, like, it's hard to distinguish the line between hating and like just not knowing franchises, but I would agree with you. I don't know if I would have double dip, but yeah, it's like whatever, right?
Finn the Human, which I think was another good pick. Again, he's like the face of Adventure Time.
I think that's a fine double dip. I ain't got no complaint.
Bugs Bunny, you gotta have Bugs.
Gotta have him. Gotta have him.
Yeah. Batman, yep.
Gotta have him.
Arya Stark is where we get a little weird. Because
I think that one's fine because it was like base game roster and it showed off the lunacy of the roster. I think that one's okay.
Sure, but I do think in terms of like you're trying to cast a broad net here, because the whole point of this is trying to like actually get as many people into your game as possible. When I think of Game of Thrones and the characters I'd want to play as Game of Thrones, my immediate, and I imagine this is most people, you probably can comment it before I even say it, is Jon Snow. Like, Jon Snow is the character. But Arya Stark would be in a top, like, probably three or four for me. But I still, I will say, if there was, yeah. Velma is a weird one. No?
I mean... If you're gonna add another member of the cast, why not just do Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, Scooby, Scoobs. Like, Velma...
Like, Velma Shaggy, fun, Shaggy was big for gimmick, the memes.
Though. I loved making, you, like, called the cops on people, and they'd come and
it was funny, and I will say Scooby-Doo's big enough that I don't necessarily mind, but her over Scooby-Doo is a bit crazy.
Then Taz... Taz, I think, is a solid one. I don't mind multiple representation. I mean, Looney Tunes are huge, and, like, I think they fit this very well. Iron Giant is a much more niche, probably, option for them.
Yeah.
Then we get to LeBron. LeBron, I think, makes sense. You got Space Jam, and it's
yeah,
it's
he's a funny guy.
Like get, yeah. Then that's
another
it.
Funny pick.
That's base game, if I'm not mistaken. That is base game. Now we're into DLC characters. You've got Rick and Morty. I think those are
fine.
Those make sense. Those are huge. One of their biggest cartoon IPs currently. But then here's where it gets real weird, Dadadoya, because I kept saying Gizmo, and I did remember Gizmo being one of them. But the first three DLC characters for this game, and they weren't DLC, right? It's all microtransactions. You have to. That's a whole different thing, too, by the way. Earning characters, not spending money, they made god awful. Like, the playtime to do to earn these characters was awful. But it was Stripe, who is the, like,
yes,
iconic gremlin from the Gremlins movies.
Iconic is pushing it.
But, I mean, I think he is that gremlin that you think, besides Gizmo, he is the gremlin that you think of from those. But
I don't think of gremlins. I don't think of gremlins.
Yes. Dotto, we talked about this minimally, and I was like,
I don't.
Let's save it for the pod. Dotto said this. He's like, who are they marketing this to? 60-year-olds?
Yes.
And that's a really good point.
Dude, I'm going to be honest, and maybe to the older heads out there, this is going to come off as disrespectful, but I, you know, getting into my later 20s now, who the fuck, like, what the, like, I'm not fucking playing these guys. Like, this is, and also, this might sound insulting to the people that like multiverses, I would imagine this is a game that would skew younger in the demographics, trying to pick up that yes. The Smash Brothers players. Why the fuck are we adding Stripe and Gizmo to the Smash Brothers game? Hey, no, but Gizmo, maybe, you know, because he's like a cute little fluffy thing. But Stripe is an ugly looking lizard. What the fuck? I don't know. I think these choices are, like, especially when you have everything else, dude. Everything. Like, they added Joker, like some characters they added later, Nano, like Joker and Raven. Now, there you go. That's how you do it right there.
I was about to get to those. So the other one with Gizmo and Stripe, which made sense at the time, is Black Adam. Now, they didn't make Black Adam look like The Rock, though, which granted, in hindsight, now that the DCEU is completely dead, I guess it's whatever. But at the time, making a Black Adam that didn't look like The Rock, also a fumble. And of your entire DC roster, because at this time, again, base game, all you had access to was Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. Like, Black Adam is your, like, I don't know. The fact that they didn't capitalize more on DC outside of Joker, Black Adam, and post-launch was also already probably a bad sign.
It's like they were trying to impress people with their character picks. Like, oh, we're going to get Black Adam in here. It's like, just add fucking... somebody from the Justice League, The Flash, fuck Aquaman. Yes, do somebody else. Yes. Like, why are you trying to impress people?
Why was Jason Momoa's Aquaman not in this? All right, I'll make this fast so we don't spend too much more time on this, but let's just say yay or nay if we feel like they were a good addition. Marvin the Martian, I'm saying nay.
I'm going to go with nay on that one too, although I do like I like the character, but yeah,
I like
I'm going to go
too,
nay.
But of all the, cuz I want to just read off some of the potential leaks that we had before we wrap this up. Banana Guard, nay.
Nay.
Jason Voorhees. I think this is actually a yay for me. I think this is actually a good pick. Joker. Yes. Yes. Agent Smith from The Matrix.
That's a no.
You have Neo. Do Neo. What are you doing, man? Like, I love The Matrix.
But also, just skip this shit. Like, I don't think The Matrix needed to come in this early.
Especially
with this.
This would have gotten me Neo, and you've got me in the game. Back in the game. Easily.
I mean, maybe. Not me, but, I could be wrong on that. Could be out of touch.
Got it. Okay. Samurai Jack, yes.
I would say yeah.
Beetlejuice, I'm going to say yes, but
I'm going to say no.
I think it makes sense because they knew the movie was coming out. And they may have even dropped it.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact time he dropped. Powerpuff Girls is a yes.
I think it's a yes.
Nubia. Who's Nubia?
I'm going to be honest. I have no fucking earthly idea.
Am I showing my ignorance of like a DC character? Oh,
she's from Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay. Okay. Again, you have access to the entire like DC roster. I don't know. Like,
yeah, that is literally a Who character though. Like, what?
Yeah, we didn't know that. I think the thing is too, you need to have immediate, like, there needs to be immediate recognizability off of these characters. You can't be like, these are actual real lore over them. Like,
this is crunch time too, by the way. Like, this is not like, if your game was successful, sure, get wacky with it. You know, like flex the big ones, save the big hitters, but like, some of these characters, honestly, a lot of the ones we're giving yes to, like, oh, that's good. Like, you give a yeah to Beetlejuice, and I think Beetlejuice could be fine, and the movie's coming out. But think of your player base here. Your player base doesn't give up two fucks about Beetlejuice. That's I would almost guarantee it. Even Powerpuff Girls, I think, is cool, but like, I don't think I don't think the player base is gonna. Maybe Powerpuff Girls is the best one, but like, even Samurai Jack, who I do like, I feel like isn't good enough. I don't know. Like, this is crunch time. Why are we not bringing out the A game, like the most popular guys of all time?
So the final two characters, and then we can talk about that just briefly, were Raven, which, yeah, that's a massive.
Yes, that one's good. That's a big one.
And Marceline,
she's from Adventure Time too, I think. Yeah. I didn't watch Adventure Time, but I could see that being a big time one, but I don't know.
So the two biggest IPs that come to my mind that I'm surprised did not make it in, and maybe the game was just failing, that's why they couldn't, but like, then don't approve it and don't give all these, I don't know, don't make an IP-based platform brawler if you can't then also support it with your best IP. But like, no Harry Potter representation is insane. No Lord of the Rings representation is insane. And even crazier is, guess who freaking owns Mortal Kombat? Oh, that's right, WB. Why is there no Mortal Kombat character in here too? Like, even if you don't fuck with Mortal Kombat anymore, people love Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Like, those are two of the most iconic gaming characters or media characters, period, of the last, like, three decades. Like, there is an immediate recognizability to Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
And there's, like, the whole thing with, like, Mortal Kombat versus DC. Like, that could have been a fun, like, voice line. Like,
crazy.
And again, the thing with talking about this is it's actually comical. Like, all of the options we listed, sure, some of them are good. But when you see how much these people own, it's like, what the fuck are half of these guys doing in the game? There's no way. There's no way.
So one that you always wanted, and that I actually can't believe they didn't do, because I like, so many people love it. Well, you can tell. You can talk about it. This was your running joke with this game, actually.
Yes, there was no Ben 10. I feel like he was. And again, when you look at all they own, they could do whatever they want. But some of these characters over Ben 10 is fucking ridiculous. Like, I don't know. I just think it was such a cool choice. Like, it just could have been so much fun to play. Admittedly, it does come down to, I'm just a fan of the show. I like the show. But not ever seeing Ben 10, I mean, I saw it coming when the game did what it did. But it's upsetting, to say the least. It's upsetting. It's just another fumbled bag for multiverses.
Some of the leaked characters, because again, we don't have to spend too much time on this. I will say they do have a lot of access to like scary films, and people love scary like characters and shit like that. I mean, they've built entire games around these like legendary franchises, but it's kind of weird that they only did Jason. They could have done so many more with that. They own Godzilla. Godzilla would have been a huge one. Godzilla, King Kong, like those would be like huge characters. The entire DC roster is basically available to them. I don't know, dude. It's like, and again, Game of Thrones, like they only tapped into Game of Thrones once. That's one of the biggest TV series in the last decade. And Harry Potter. I mean, Harry Potter is one of the most like successful IP franchises. Speaking of Dragon Ball, starting the entire episode off talking about that, Harry Potter is like up there. Like that would have gotten people who could give two shits about this game to download the game just to try out like Ron, Hermione, or Harry. Like I don't know, dude. It's like it's just weird. It's just weird how this game was handled. They also I remember whenever this game first came out and people were guessing stuff. Does WB have like some weird franchise rights to some anime? Because I remember people were talking about seeing like some anime characters in multiverses and that it was actually possible because of them owning like some of the like publishing rights or something to some of the anime in the US or something like that. Does that sound familiar at all?
I have no idea. Somebody told me that Goku was an actual possibility, which I don't believe, but I mean, somebody said that.
Okay. Anyway, multiverses. Well, I don't know. And again, I was like, they did say something about like foreseeable future, right? Like, I'm not crazy for thinking that. And they really did. Season 5 will serve as the final update for multiverses beginning February 4th and ending May 30th. After season 5 ends, players will be able to enjoy the game offline for the foreseeable future. Like, dude, just say like the game is gone. Like, what do you mean for the foreseeable future? Get out of here, bro.
Yeah, I mean,
just you know, say it how it is. I do now.
They've never done that with this game, not once. They can never look you in the eye and tell you the truth.
I do kind of want the platinum on this game before it goes away.
Is that even possible?
It is. Would you be my boosting partner, Dotto?
Oh, brother, this guy needs a boost,
dude. I think I looked it up. You have to do like 500 party matches.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I think you have to complete them.
Oh, what a grind, dude. I mean, to be fair, that'd probably be a good memory of the game before it went away.
All right, hang on, so you trying to boost?
Yeah, man, I'm sure I'll get a few games in for you.
That actually probably would make like a funny video. Spin that into a video.
Multiverses video in the big 2025.
You know what? I'm gonna make a prediction right now, Dotto. You make a multiverses video before that game shuts down.
I probably will if I don't forget.
There's a spin to that that could really work. So I believe that we will see at least one multiverses video from Dotto the Way, because that game is never coming back after May 30th.
No, it's over. It's going the way of Concord.
Bro had to drop.
Did you see the
one.
Did you see the Bandai game that like is sucking ass right now?
Yes, I saw it before Critical talked about it, but
I did too, actually.
Wait, we talked about it, actually. I think me and you had a discussion about this because we talked about it at the same time we talked about some of those other games that came out that did really bad, like Dustborn, and there was another game. Like, we're talking these. I won't lie, though, I didn't realize I watched Charlie's video over it, and I didn't realize that Bandai had invested into the world to the point of making like comics or graphic novels, and they had like TV series planned and all this other stuff planned around this franchise. This really was going to be Bandai's Concord, because like, if you're not familiar with Concord, Sony first off, there I still haven't watched it yet, but there was a that anthology series that Amazon did, the Secret Level series. There's a Concord episode. They had made a Concord controller. Like, they really thought there was like, there's internal documentation that is leaked where they thought this was like their Star Wars or something. Like, they really believed in Concord. Yeah. Anyway.
But I just,
that's, yeah. That
where do people get this? Where do people get this confidence in their shit?
Yeah, I don't know. They need to stop doing that, though. They need to stop. We need to get back to good single player game experiences with tacked on multiplayer experiences. Also, they should have just released The Last of Us game in the state that it was in, and I bet you people would have still played the shit out of that game.
Yeah, people have no enjoyment for the art of a tacked on multiplayer anymore, bro. Like,
it's also
people just can't respect it.
It's also a conversation we had multiple times on this podcast. Like, Multiversus is a live service game. That's its whole gimmick. And like, there's just like, we don't have enough time for all these live service games. Speaking of live service games, did you see that Dr. Disrespect's old studio shut down too as of yesterday?
His studio?
Yeah, well, it was not his studio anymore, because after all that shit came out last year, they let him go. But it was called Midnight Society, which he was like a founding.
Yeah.
anyway, they and I remember I listened to a bunch of gaming podcasts and they were all just like, I'll be impressed if we ever see this game. Like, because when you have a thing that's being built up like that and it was so heavily, I mean, Doc, even post whatever all happened last year with him, he still has like a huge following. You know what I mean? Like, so many of those viewers just did not care about anything that came out.
Hey, bro, you don't have to tell me. The rule of life is just nothing matters and nothing happens. I'm fully on board with that shit, dude. Nothing matters. Like, that is the ultimate pill you just have to swallow with life. But I don't disagree. Honestly, you can tell when something. I learned very early. You never forget your first fan project, bro. For me, that was Naruto Abundai. Like, sometimes people talk about a game and get you all hyped and they sound like they have a plan and they'll get a whole little team together and then they're like, you're just like, yeah, this shit's not gonna happen. Like, this, none of this is gonna work how you say this is gonna work. This is gonna suck ass or it's not even gonna happen.
Well, so what was that? I have one I want to add too then real quick before we dive into the episode.
Go ahead.
What was Naruto Abundai? What is this?
Oh, Naruto Abundai was a fan project for a Naruto MMO. And part of the reason I believed it was because this was when I was in middle school. Okay. I had a friend who said that he had beta tested it, who obviously now was just fucking lying. But he said he had beta tested it and that it was sick and it was awesome and it was so cool and it had all these things. And I was like, oh my God, dude, this is going to be the game of my dreams. Anyway, the Naruto Abundai site never updated after like the next 2 weeks. Like, it just was.
No.
It was horrible. I mean, I look it up. Like,
why do we all have a story with someone at school telling us about something really cool and that like it really exists and then it fucking doesn't? Like,
it doesn't, dude. Like, I think that's just a kid experience though. Sometimes you just lie to be cool.
So like, my experience with that, Dotto.
Okay. Yeah. No. I was just gonna say I found a video of it. Apparently, it's not a Bundai. Apparently, it was a Bunai. But I remember it being called a Bundai. 15 years ago, they had like videos of world editors and shit like this and how they were moving everything. And I was like, dude, this is going to be so sick. But it's shit like when they post, like they did like a day and night cycle and you could tell it's like, you know, these people, they know the programs. They kind of know what they're doing. But in the same way that a novice talks about something, it's just like, oh yeah, I got a day and night cycle. As soon as I get the game in here, oh, this is going to be crazy.
So mine, this is very similar as I'm about to send it to you. Here you go. Time Splitters Rewind. A team over 10 years ago, if I remember correctly, because the Time Splitters IP died. It was owned by, I believe, THQ at one point. Or no, Free Radical, who got shut down, were the original devs. I think they got the actual IP back. It's been a long, series of just unfortunate events with this IP, because they finally got the IP out of like IP hell, and I believe THQ, when it got revived, bought it. And then anyways, I won't spend too much time on this, but Time Splitters Rewind is something that they basically are recreating. It started, I think, in either Unreal Engine 3 or 4. We're now in Unreal Engine 5. Recreating levels, recreating characters, recreating all the assets to make it modern, and then also going to try to have a multiplayer like aspect to it as well. And this has been ongoing for over 10 years. Dotto, there was a point where Crytek, people who made Crysis and The Hunt, got involved and actually halfway, they bought the IP and then gave them their blessing to continue working on this. And the last time they've updated, because they do continue to update, but I think most of us in the fandom, because I'm a part of the Facebook group, I'm in the Reddit, all that. But most of us have just given up on the idea that this is going to ever actually release. Like, it's always just like dev update videos. And it's really, I mean, I'm trying to say this in like a negative way, because it is still ongoing. It's not like Dotto's thing that I think is probably 100% dead. Like, this is still ongoing, because the one I just sent Dotto a video.
Yeah, 10 months ago.
March of 2024. And if you go look, like, there are some big gaps. Like, before that, it was December of 2022. Before that, it was December of 2021. Before that, it was February 2021. And the oldest video is, 7 years ago. It's been longer than this, though. This has been ongoing for longer than 2017. But anyways, there was a point where it seemed really positive, because Crytek had got the IP and was, like, okay with this. And then there was rumors we were getting a Time Splitters 4. And they were going to let the Rewind team continue to work to rebuild. I believe it's either 1 or 2 that they're currently rebuilding. I believe it's 2. And we were going to get the Rewind project and a Time Splitters 4, and now all that's just dead. But I guess Rewind might still happen, but I've given up hope, though. I've given up hope. This is one of my most like favorite series from back in the day. Fairly niche, fairly not. If any of you played Time Splitters, let us know down below in the comments. That's like... The next time you're here, we should play Time Splitters. Have you ever played Time Splitters?
No.
It's made by a lot of the people that made GoldenEye, but it's actually like, you know, on a... You're not having to aim and move and do all this weird shit with an N64 controller. You actually get to play with like dual analog. And so it's very, it moves and feels a lot like that. And
this one's way sadder than mine. Like there's still comments believing.
Yes. And again, it may happen, but like, it's been all these years, and it's people obviously not getting paid to do this. Like they are just doing this as a side, like this, they're doing this when they get home from their work. Like they're like, well, I'm going to work on assets for like 3 hours tonight and see what I can get done, and let's rebuild this and anyway, it did seem really promising though about 4 years ago when Crytek got I think I'm remembering this correctly. Crytek got the IP rights and then approved the Rewind team to continue working on it, which is a whole other thing. Did you see Bloodborne? The whole Bloodborne patch like got like cease and desist to like take down the Bloodborne.
Because I did not see they cease and desisted it. No, yeah, I did hear that it was moving though. Like it was making progress.
Well, it's 60 FPS patch or whatever that he dropped so that you could play Bloodborne and 60 FPS. Got the guy that made that and had the video out on it, got a cease and desist and had to take it down. So presumably we might finally get some motion on Bloodborne, which is kind of crazy, which it is the 10-year reunion of that game. So,
which is crazy. I remember when that game came out.
Same. I can't believe it's been 10 years. All right. Let's talk about episode 16, the Gesu of Dragon Ball Daima.
You'll never guess who has very little to do with this episode.
Is it the Gesu?
You got it. Yeah. He doesn't really do much now, does he? That's kind of my whole problem with this fucking, not only this show, but this episode. If I could start off on an insanely negative sounding note, like,
Nothing new here.
In this episode, Degesu gets jobbed completely, does nothing. And the Ginyu Force ripoff, who I can't even remember their name.
Gendamari Force,
jobbed, is a joke. Like, what? Whatever. If Degesu just is like...
But that's part of it, Dotto. That is part of, like, Dragon Ball humor, though, to be fair.
I get it, but... I don't get the Gendamari Force one. Like, these are characters that spent a lot of time. Unless they fuse, you know, maybe they all fuse.
Oh, shut up, man. No, they don't.
Like that's the only way out, though. Like, that's the only way. Like, other than that, like, why do we even need these characters?
It's just supposed to be fun, man. I will say, though.
It wasn't, though. I was not.
Right now on you. But I will say, and I will agree with you in our reaction, when they were doing their whole spiel again, which is, you know, obviously just being a modern Ginyu Force, like, I don't think we needed to go through that again after we just had that in the previous episode. Like, it felt like a lot. Yeah, I guess the only time we really saw Degesu was when he kidnapped. So Degesu kidnaps Dende. If you didn't watch last week's preview, Degesu kidnaps Dende. And then the next time we see Degesu is when the Z Fighters catch up to Degesu while he has Dende and is like, stop. That's pretty much all Degesu was in this. The Gendamari Force had much more screen time than Degesu.
And then Degesu gets arrested. Like, he's out of the story, potentially. I will say, a funny moment that happens here is that, you know, Pansy sneaks in, tries to tase Degesu to stop him. He stops her. And then, you know, who else but Hybus's hat flies in and hits Degesu off balance, so he loses the gun, and he ultimately loses because of this. And I'll be damned if I didn't worry for 1 second that Hybus actually did something for once.
Dude, I will say,
could
like,
not ha- I did not want to live in a world where he got his clutch up moment. I did not want it. I did not need that to happen.
If there has ever been a time besides our hype moments to become a key member and watch our reactions, please go watch mine and his reaction to potentially Hybus saving the day. Because that
shit was about to piss me off.
My vote was on Hybus saving the day, by the way. I'm not necessarily team Hybus, but I thought it would have been the absolute funniest shit ever, because like Dude, Dotto has had the biggest,
I hate this guy. Yeah. I absolutely hate this character. Thankfully, though, the camera pans over and reveals that while Hybus' dumbass is there, still complaining, it was Glorio who ripped the hat off his head and threw it. So the Glory Bros took a W, and the Hybus Bros are just there existing, breathing out of their mouth as always, thankfully.
Do you want to have this conversation?
About what?
Why do people like Hybus?
I don't know, dude. And it was getting to me. Because I made the tweet, you know, and we talked about it on the podcast, and people were like, nah, I love Hybus. He's so goofy. He's like you. But why? Like, he hasn't done anything funny. He hasn't done not one thing funny. And his whole personality is very monotone.
Yeah.
It's very monotone. It's very not funny. It's very like, oh, you're my girlfriend, or you're into children. Or it's like, what, dude, what are you fucking talking about, brother?
I don't want to kiss. I want that hat.
That was his best joke. And even then it was like, okay, you're trading away the ultimate power in the demon world for that. Okay. So that's how that's going to happen. Okay. I don't know. It's not like he's glaringly bad, because it's not like he's a huge part of the show or anything, but it's just like, why is he a part of the show? I just do not get. Surely there had to be a more interesting way to get the eye. Like, I would have almost rather liked it if the eye was just always in Goma's possession. He was like, I can't believe I'm going to have to use this. Instead of, oh, thank God Hybus wore his belt here. I don't know, dude.
He's a very nothing burger character to me. Like, I don't necessarily, I'm not like Dotto, I don't necessarily hate him, but like, he adds nothing while potentially taking away. Like, I think that's his character to me. Like, I think that if you are actually like hyping up Hybus, and you're not doing it unironically just to mess with Dotto, which is what I was doing in our reaction. Like, I don't know how, because I don't get it. I guess I just don't get that character. Maybe, you know what? Maybe it's like super intellectual comedy that I just don't understand.
Dude, because like, I get it. I get the style of humor. Like, don't talk shit on my goat. And like, it's a side character. But like,
yeah, but Hybus,
usually that character does something. I don't know. Like, Mineta, I said this before to you, Mineta in My Hero Academia is funnier and more impactful than Hybus. Fucking, I mean, just anybody, dude, literally anybody is more impactful. And I don't know. I don't even know what to say. If you're a Hybus fan, please let us know in the comments.
I'll look forward to an essay comment down below telling us why Hybus is actually like a good character.
Maybe they just cracked up at all his jokes, dude. Like, maybe he's just he's Hybus hilarious, dude.
What jokes?
You know,
which one, Dotto?
You know, the one where he's like, oh, you must just like big tits because Vegeta didn't want his wife to stay as a child. You know, that one was hilarious, dude. I feel like that's an easy target, though.
Man.
Like, yeah, he had one questionable joke. I ain't gonna hold him to the fire for it. I just wish his other jokes were funny.
Hold on.
I actually got to go back, because when he's introduced, I actually think that's when he's at his best. Those were the jokes that I remember the most. Like, Hybus, I need you to go do this. Oh, why? I had a date.
Yes.
I was going to go get a haircut.
You're right.
That was okay. That was okay. And then after that, and it wasn't even a soaring high, Nano, but after that, it just got lower and lower and lower and lower, dude.
Which is why I wanted him to be the one that threw the hat so bad, Dotto.
No, it couldn't have. No, dude, I don't want to live in that world, because I would have gotten 4 fucking tweets about it. I would have gotten told you so's, and that's my good. Because then they would have had a reason to say it, like Yajirobe. I don't like Yajirobe, but, you know, he clutched up, you know, and he was good in Dragon Ball. And there's things you could say, like, but not Hybus, dude. Please, I'm so grateful. If Hybus does anything in the series, just know I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be angry and upset. And that's all I got to say on Hybus.
As far as a general episode synopsis, as I think we talked about, yeah, we definitely talked about that in the podcast. We just wouldn't have known in the reaction. It's genuinely, we don't get past title card until 3 minutes and 30 seconds in. Once we're past title card, the Gesu takes Dende. We get introduced to the Gendamari Force, which I'm now seeing took up like genuinely before any action, that scene was over 3 minutes of that as well. It's just a big, essentially like Ginyu Force sort of a callback. The like pretty woman that got the third eye off of that is not the Gesu, by the way. It is not the Gesu dressed up. They got the third eye off of Hybus, is trying to find the Gesu to give him the eye. And the Z Warriors travel through some pretty awesome looking landscapes inside the castle. That was probably one of the highlights of this episode specifically, is like they continue to really kill the environments here of Daima, which is
That's the best part. Absolute best part of Daima so far. I mean, you know, last four episodes might pick up, but the environment and the art, undisputed number one best part about the series.
No, I mean, like genuinely, like super, like when they pull up to the, like they actually get past the Gendamari Force and we get like a shot of the outside of the castle with the bridge. Like, I don't know. It's sick. And then the inside castle, which gave off kind of like, just like a scene in Harry Potter where the staircases are like moving, kind of gave off like a vibe like that. But just like a kind of almost mazy-ish. Anyway, they catch up to Degesu, because Goku can like sense his ki or whatever, and he's about to hop onto a ship with Dende, and this is where he puts the gun to Dende's like head. And this is also where him and Supreme Kai finally get to have like their talk, and very anti-Glins, even though they are Glins. Like, the guess he wants to be the supreme demon king, and Supreme Kai's like, yo, you're a Glin, you're not made out to do that, brother.
And these motherfuckers were having a privilege off. Yeah. They said, what do you think you're even trying to do? You're a Glin, you ain't shit. And
then he responded with like, an accent come out for that one there now, Donald.
Exactly why, bro. Because then the guess he responded with, well, ain't it in a Glin's nature to want more? These guys were just having a Glin off.
Anyway, at that point, Glorio and Pansy both actually have a moment here. Pansy is the one that actually moves forward, doesn't really do anything, just gets stopped before she can really do anything and get Dende. But then that's when the Hybus hat comes out of nowhere, and you're waiting in anticipation to see if it was actually Hybus or not, and it was Glorio that threw the hat. And then right after that, that's when the girl makes her way to the actual like king throne room. And is like, I'm looking for the Gesu. Here's this weird eye thing. I want my payment.
I do want to say, girl character, surprisingly, was the funniest character in this episode.
Yes.
Which was weird. Didn't think she'd be a character at all after last one, but she really grew on me. She had funny bits. This is what Hybus could have been. Yeah, I thought so.
Why are you saying that, Dotto?
What do you mean? What are you insinuating here?
Maybe you have a crush on the anime character?
No, I'm sorry. I just think women can be funny. You disagree, though, I assume?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, yeah, you'd never say that. We know about your WNBA incident, buddy.
that was yours, not mine.
Nah, I think if you checked the tapes, you'd see it was you.
I do want to bring up while we're here, I sent you a tweet. It was a slow interaction, slow plays, and he said, okay. they got Walmart Toa with a picture of the girl that, you know, we're referencing here, and then a picture of Toa, and someone named Lee replies and said, nah, that's Toa's sister Hawk. Together they are Hawk Toa.
Ah, fantastic joke. We are just soaring too close to the sun now.
Oh shit. Anyways,
we like to have fun here. We like to have fun on the podcast.
So anywho, Hawk actually takes the third eye to Goma and actually gets him the eye. So Goma has the eye, but we have a whole sequence of him not being able to get it out. He finally uses a plunger, and I won't lie, I can imagine I will see some GIFs of him using that plunger later on my timeline if I check.
Oh, yeah. I thought the same thing. And also, another high note of this was how Goma was animated this episode. Goma was also pretty funny this episode.
Yeah.
So congratulations, dude. Goma, you know, good stuff. You know, there was some, really just shows how much Hybus sucks, but go ahead.
But if you haven't watched the episode, essentially, if you've seen that Whiplash gif that goes around of, oh my gosh, what is his name from, well, Whiplash, and he's in Fantastic Four. I'm sure he probably,
yeah. Say that again.
Anyway, that gif, it's pretty much like that. Anyways, he gets the third demon eye, and for whatever reason, he needs her to put it on his forehead. He can't do it himself. And I really thought it wasn't going to let us actually see him transform. We see this dude transform, and he's a big-ass Broly-looking dude now.
Well, he looks like Jiren.
Yes.
I mean, he's got the color scheme and everything.
Pride Trooper, muscles, everything, bro. He's huge.
I actually have high hopes that he's going to look pretty cool.
Same.
I don't think I'll end up liking the color scheme just because he did look a lot like Jiren. Maybe they'll change it. But the way his head was slicking back, I thought, you know, I can see the potential. I see the potential. They didn't give us a whole look at it, but I'm excited for this. I mean, we're going to get to it at the end of the episode, but this is the most I've been excited for an episode off a preview and off of what we ended on in maybe the whole show's run.
No, the preview, this is easily the best preview of any of the previews. Usually they're like basically screenshots. They don't even really let too much animation happen in the preview. And in this one specifically, this was like a whole ass mini teaser trailer for next week. Like, you've got Doo and Ku fighting. You've got, like, some crazy-ass animation of Piccolo, Vegeta, and Goku fighting together, like, on rocks up in the air. And then you have this, what appears to be crazy transformation of the sort of island that they are currently on that's, like, floating in the sky for where the castle has been. This is the next week's episode is called Goma. This is, like, the craziest teaser for any week yet. So... That was generally the episode, though. That was everything that happened in the episode. It was still a bit tame, I think is a nice way to say it.
It was. It was very... Not a lot of music this episode, honestly. A lot of wind, a lot of talking.
Yeah. Very atmospheric, for sure. Now, before we get into the rating, I also do want to remind you, last week we gave that episode fives. You and I both, we teamed up and tied and gave it fives. I'm curious how you're feeling this week. I think I know how I'm feeling, but I'll be interested in seeing what the Dada Doya like score is this week. Before we get to that, though, we do have something we do each week, which is book club. And we got some interesting ones this week. And one specifically, I'm very excited to hear Dada talk on. But I'll dive into this one first. This is from my dude over on Patreon. We always try to take some Patreon comments as well. So be sure to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/keymoments. I am 100% in agreement with you guys. The whole time I was watching this episode, in reference to episode 15, I was banging my head on the wall just thinking, what if Goku just went Super Saiyan? This whole castle would be rubble on the floor. It's not even a meathead take. I did see a lot of people on the timeline that were not fans of, not necessarily, it was our take. I think we were both in agreement on this, but weren't fans, because I think a lot of people had this take that it felt a little bit pointless because those were magical guns that the Gendamari had. And we shouldn't pretend, or we shouldn't act like Goku, Piccolo, and Vegeta are just immune to everything. But I don't know, dude. We've seen these characters do some crazy ass feats, and I just, of all the things that these guys have had to overcome, we're now giving them a buy, saying that like basically stun guns work on them. Is that not like, are we crazy for that?
I really don't think so, and I think I just think it was. I don't know. It was really bad. It was really, really bad. I agree with you. I saw a lot of people
defending, you know, last week's episode, basically, is what I saw.
You saw defending?
I saw people. I think what it was is I saw a lot of people, obviously, like, people were not very happy about last week's episode. But then I think what it was is almost an overcorrection from some other people that were like, listen, like.
Oh, I did see. You know what? You're right. I did see that, too. Like, the second wave, like. Oh, Dragon Ball fans, when a gun is like dangerous, yes, but yes, I just, yes. I don't know, dude. I just don't think that's intellectually honest. Like, I really don't. Like, you guys remember episode 3? Fucking Goku 1v100 these guys. Like, yes. What are we taught in base? And it was to the tune of fucking Aladdin jumping over the breadline, dude. It was like, it was just jokes. It was just jokes. On a planet where they said it was heavier. So it's just like the stakes here have been demolished and they don't exist and it feels awful. And the team coming together scene didn't hit. It's just like, I don't know. There was yes, I did see that, but I also did see, I think the more, again, I hate to say this. I feel like that's the more like artsy side of Dragon Ball Twitter. Like they're like, wow, you know, but I think normal people kind of felt like, yeah, the stakes here were a little out of play. Even the people that liked it. I'm not saying that everybody disliked it, but I saw a lot of people like, yeah, this one was the most like just transform already episode.
I think I think the thing I will always go to here, and I get it. There's plenty of dime of hate on the internet. But for the most part, for us and our little like bubble over here, a lot of you guys think we're, I guess, the haters when we're, again, I don't understand how you get that. But what I will say, I think the only reason people would defend this is because it is Dragon Ball Daima. But if this were Dragon Ball Super and we're watching an episode, and maybe there were episodes and I'm forgetting about this, that's not the thing I want to bring up too, just briefly. But if this were Dragon Ball Super, like no one is taking that seriously. No one is defending Dragon Ball Super, Goku, Vegeta, any of them, like losing to stun guns. And yeah, they're kids, whatever, but we've seen multiple times this kid shit doesn't stop them, dude. Like I think that the only way you're finding a way to defend this is because it is Daima and like you feel like you need to, but you don't. Just admit that it was like a really weird decision to have like them feel like they're struggling just to have this cool moment of their friend showing up that we barely could even remember their names. And maybe that's on us. And I remembered it. Dotto did not, as King Kazan, but I couldn't tell you any of the other characters' names. And even then, we've seen him.
I don't even know if they've gave us the names.
Yeah, I don't think they have.
I do enjoy, it's kind of sad we started so late into the series, or I started doing this late, but I keep going to the subreddit now. I've been reading it here on the side. And they're crashing out, dude. It seems like the popular take is people did not like this episode at all.
Oh, really?
They're crying out, like, when you sort by top, they are fucking losing their minds.
I liked this episode way more than last week.
Yes, more than last week's, absolutely. I think it's very much carried by the end, though, and very much carried by the end. A lot of it is disappointment with the Ginyu Force ripoff, and I will fully fucking agree that is just a blatant waste of time. If they fuse later, then it's not a complete waste. Or maybe they get consumed by Goma.
Laza bullshit? Like, what?
Or maybe they get consumed by Goma or something. But even, I'm going to be honest, I feel like the more the show has gone on, call me crazy, but my complaints are leaving the Meathead realm and now are almost solely focused on the writing here. Like Degesu. This episode was titled Degesu. Total nothing character. He could have just been any fucking henchman with a pistol. He did nothing. Even his conversation with the Supreme Kai was nothing. It was like, whatever. It was just a couple racist remarks.
There was no weight there just because they were brothers. There was really nothing there.
Yeah, it was just, oh, hey, brother. What's up, bro? You a Glind. Nah, you a Glind. And that was it. Like, that's, it's just like, where's the tension? Why are these kids? Why did we get to know these characters? Why were they important? And especially with the Ginyu Force, because it's just a total joke and one that wasn't even executed as funny as the bit could be. I don't know. It's just a real, like, I think this is worse, honestly. We're exiting the realm of, meathead, me bored, me pacing, want fight. And we're now entering the realm of, like, where's the lore drops? We haven't gotten any new lore drops. It's been all fucking slow, and the characters are starting to not matter. I don't know.
So far, I think that this series, there's a comment recently on one of my YouTube videos, by the way, and he was like, he was talking about pacing on something, and he's like, I can't believe Nano. You know what? I'll find it here in a sec. Hang on. Let's move on to the next comment here. On the episode itself, I big agree that this is from Lawrence. On the episode itself, I big agree this is such a strange episode that it feels like a heavy first draft. It's strange that the third Demon Realm characters got this huge moment despite not being characters and that the series wanted us to believe the crew was in danger. It easily could have fixed it with some bullshit. Goma used really crazy magic to power up the weapons to like stun limbs. Then when a character gets hit, it's like, oh, Goku, your arm is stunned for a bit now. Or if the cast just said, we don't want to go all out because we have to fight the Tamagami's Desu, Goma, yada, yada, yada. That would have been better. At least, like, so they don't mind some in-house explanations. Like, I even felt, yeah. I don't know if you noticed this. I don't know if you felt this way, but I felt it was almost a little cheeky when Degesu and Supreme Kai were talking. Like they even had a small dialogue of almost like a reminder, like, hey, yeah, this is your brother.
Yeah.
Do you remember that there was some sort of comment between the two of them that felt like they needed to remind us that they were brothers, as if You wouldn't know that if you'd watched this far. I don't know. I was like, they.
I don't. But to be honest, I don't remember a lot of the episode last week. I think I texted you.
Was,
I was like,
was
I
today.
Had a fun.
It was today. It was today.
It was in this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a moment that Degesu calls out. It's either Degesu calls out to Supreme Kai or Supreme Kai calls out the Degesu, and it was just so plainly meant to sort of be like, oh look, yeah, yeah, yeah. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. The guest who says, well, well, if it isn't my distinguished older brother. And I read that and I said, oh, that's just them being like, remember, guys, these two are related. Like, don't forget, like, that is, yep, Supreme Kai is the guest who's older brother. You guys don't forget. I get it. That's like, that's the way to do it. But I'm just saying, like, they don't mind, like, having something be so obvious. Just let it, it could have been obvious last week if they were just like, these are like fucking what's the doom gun BFG. These are like BFG level, you know what I mean? Like, this is like the power of the sun in our hands or something. I don't know, dude. Anyway,
yeah, I agree. It's just like
just adding crazy to what Lawrence was saying.
And I do agree with what Lawrence said as well. Like, and again, it's sad because I had been singing the series praises on how well they were doing with, you know, we talked about this last episode, but when they want to nerf the characters, they do. They state reasons why they're nerfed, but then also they do a good job of showing, like, hey, these guys are still the strongest motherfuckers on the planet, to be honest.
Yeah.
So they did a good job balancing it, and then I feel like all of that was thrown out the fucking window. Like, it was just thrown out the window that episode. They didn't even try. There was no excuse. There was no magic. It was just, don't want to get shot. We better not get shot. And then I'm going to go Super Saiyan and nuke the planet, by the way. I could have done that 2 minutes ago, but I decided not to. It's a hard thing when writing Dragon Ball. I know it's got to be a fucking pain in the ass to try to write around shit like that, but you know, damn if it didn't suck.
I found it. So it was literally on my Dokkan live stream reaction, and he says, love Nano, but bro really said the pacing of a live stream is bad, but Daima isn't, lol. And I was like, bro, my literal biggest complaint about Daima this entire time is the pacing. I go, it's why I've been grilled on Twitter multiple times, because I've reiterated multiple times on how much I think they have fumbled Daima's pacing. What are you on about? Like, bro, if there's one consistency that you've heard from me specifically on this podcast for 16 weeks now, which is what I was just, why I wanted to bring it up, I think that this series would have benefited so much from just being a 12 episode series.
Yeah, this is, and that there's a lot of that going on Reddit right now too. A lot of people are, it's starting to shift to like more of a doomer mindset, but a lot of people are saying like, yeah, this is a 10 episode series. Which I feel like you could have done. I just feel like some choices here were wrong, like incorrect choices.
Yes.
I agree. I don't know.
All right, Telvin says, please do a sports podcast. I'm all in for it. And as a Raiders fan, F the Chiefs.
Damn, that would be my number one topic, because honestly, right now,
I want the Chiefs to win. I want to see the three-peat. I want to see them break history.
We can't have any fucking controversial talks, because I also agree. And I think the ref hate on that.
I thought you'd be, but are you very anti-Eagles because the Jets, being a Jets fan, or like?
No, I don't feel any type of way towards the Eagles, honestly. I just think, like, to me, it's just, well, I could go into my whole logic now. Another Jets fan broke it down well. But my big thing is just the Chiefs hate and referee stuff is so fucking overblown. It's crazy. It is crazy how much people think they rig it in their favor when it's just not, like, I don't think that's it at all. I watched the entire, every minute of the Bills versus Chiefs game. Same. And it was totally fine. It was totally fine. And, you know, the two big calls, the catch, I actually think, you know, if I was reffing the game, and I don't know all the rules, like nitty gritty like that, I wouldn't have called that shit a catch when it was contested like that. I just think it should have been either a hit, it hit the ground. I think it hit the ground and the receiver didn't really have contact, but whatever. Maybe it's just a rules thing. The first down, honestly, if you're going to bitch and whine about not getting a first down with a play designed to obfuscate the ball as much as possible, I'm sorry, dog, but you didn't get it. If it's not clear, like you ran the play where 90 fucking dudes are on the ball and nobody can see that shit, my bad if it's not clear, you didn't get it, bro. If it's not clear, you didn't get that shit. That's how I feel.
Damn, dog. Yeah, we aren't even doing a sports podcast, so we might have another Twitter arc just from this tiny little conversation right there, just from you saying
that. I'm just saying, bro, because that shit pissed me off. It's like, I'm
no one at the Truth DT from this podcast, man.
Well, no, they played a good game. I thought Truth was very measured. And I followed his tweets. You know, I know he's a Bills guy, and I did want the Bills to win. You know, I wanted the comeback story. I wanted the underdog story. You know, and a big, you know, big win for Josh Allen. I was happy when they beat the Ravens. I don't think it's Josh Allen's fault.
No, I think Josh Allen showed up for sure to play that game.
Yes, I think he did good. I think maybe the worst you could say is when he came in, he was a little razzled. You know, he was frazzled, but then like he settled in pretty quick. And then one of the most impressive, like there was a part in that game where he fumbled, and then he like. Bro, some people are just physically built different because this tall ass wingspan having motherfucker, as he's standing getting tackled, picked the ball back up. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, dude, with my wingspan, I'm not touching that ball. Like, there's just no, like, this 6'5" motherfucker has no idea what he just did was a circus freak shit. Like, do you know what play I'm talking about? Like, he was getting tackled, fumbled the ball, and then as he's tackled, he's like, oh, fuck. And picked it. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. I was like, when he did that, I was like, dude, this guy wants to win.
He came there. He wanted that win bad. Yeah, no, he, man. But.
Nah.
Rigged or not rigged, whatever it is.
Maybe one day. Honestly, if I was Josh Allen, and maybe I'm a worse man, trade my ass to the NFC, dog, because I'm trying to see them in the Super Bowl, not the fucking championship match, because that's what I would be thinking, honestly. Like, get me on some NFC team where I can fight the fucking Eagles and the bumfucks and just get it over with.
I asked Truth if he thought that he would trade to get like into the different conference, and he said he fully believes that he will retire a Bills.
And I believe that too, because I think he's just a good guy, and I think the Bills probably treat him like royalty. I don't think it's a wrong thing to do, but it's just sad because, to be honest, one thing that I would genuinely do if I was the NFL and I just cared about profits, let me get the goddamn, I don't know if this actually, maybe not, because then you get less matchups, but I want a Bills Chiefs Super Bowl. I don't want no fucking championship game. Yeah. I want it to be the Super Bowl because every time they play, it's the best game.
No, I think I said this last week. I think I said it about that game, but I said that for a lot of people, I think this is their Super Bowl. Like, more people are probably more interested in seeing. I mean, now for ratings, the Super Bowl will probably be watched even by more people because they want to see if the Chiefs are going to do, like, actually break literal history by getting, like, 3 wins in a row, which has never been done. And so, like, that's probably going to, like, probably uptake viewership a little bit. But I think for a lot of people, that Bills-Chiefs game was literally their Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it was definitely, like, the more tapped in.
I'm personally more interested in watching that game. I mean, I want to watch the Chiefs now to see if, you know, the Super Bowl, and was going to anyway, because even when I didn't care that much about football, I still watched Super Bowl. But like, I was way more interested in watching the Bills and Chiefs play than I am watching the Eagles and Chiefs play. But
yeah, there's something about like the Eagles could literally win, and I would just be like, I don't know why. Like the Bills versus Chiefs, I'm like, oh fuck, this is prime time.
There's such a good story though, I think, behind like Mahomes versus Josh Allen, though. I think there's like more, there's just so much more rivalry
it's like movie shit, you know? Literally like evil empire versus fucking like lone maverick. I like, it could just all be marketing, but that's how it feels.
That is how it feels.
And like, you know, one day it's gonna happen. Like one day the hero's gonna rise up and win. It just hasn't happened yet.
But I will say I'm ready because this next comment is the one I'm ready to hear you read and comment on. But I do actually like watching the Eagles. I've said this multiple times, but like I'm an OU fan, and what got me into watching the NFL is watching a lot of these players like go on to play. And Jalen Hurts, while mostly an Alabama alumni, his last year in college, he was the OU quarterback. And so we actually have quite a bit of OU alumni just like playing throughout the league, but specifically him, Baker, and Kyler, which, man, Kyler's had just an unfortunate like several seasons now over there at the Cardinals. But Baker had a pretty damn good year at the Bucks. And I'm just glad he like settled in over there and has got to perform a lot better than he did at the Browns before that, I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, and so, like, I do semi-care from that standpoint because, yeah, Jalen, I think, I'll shut up about this because I'm getting just too deep with all these name drops, but I don't think, Lincoln Riley is that great of a coach as he's maybe made out to be. And I think Jalen is shining so much more over playing NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles than he was able to at OU. And I think probably part of it was just like our organization at the time, which our organization isn't great right now either. I think like Venables is trying to get the crew where it needs to be. But anywho, I'm very interested to watch the game from that standpoint, but I infinitely more interested in watching that Bills versus Chiefs game. Dotto, man, take I'm us excited. Away. Oh, sorry. Did you have something else?
No. I was just saying I was excited too.
Take us away with Futaka. I want to see what you Futaka.
Now I went and looked at it, but here Futaka says My Hero Ultra Rumble is actually the opposite of what you're saying about anime IPs. They release multiple non-canon outfits from Cyberpunk, Ninja, to medieval costumes, etc. That's in addition to a brand new moveset, characters, and stages. I think that's a big part of why the game is still alive. I'm going to agree. I will say, though, some of the costumes you're talking about, unless I'm wrong, you sound like you know more about the game than me, so. But I'm going to argue against this wall real quick. Some of those costumes are from canon sources, like the medieval ones. The cyberpunk ones, that sounds new, and I went and looked, and they do look new. Which is good. I like them. Ninja, I didn't really see on the website I was on. But the medieval ones, like, they had, like, an outro or something where they were dressed up like fantasy characters. I don't know if that's what you're talking about. But, like, you know, the Bakugo with, like, the fur coat and he kind of looks like a berserker.
Yes.
Like, that's in the anime in an outro, I think. Or in opening. Something like that. It's in canon material. I still think they make great costumes. But yeah, if My Hero Ultra Rumble is doing that, I'm happy it's doing that. I want them to do it more. And yeah, and I do think they're doing good on stages. But looking through those costumes, I will have to stay in by original point. So many of those costumes, especially All Might, are just fucking t-shirts and dress shirts in different colors, which is upsetting. But you know, it's better than Dragon Ball will ever have. So, I mean,
So is that from anything, or is that actually like this is the cyber costume they're referring to? Is that actually semi like original for this game?
I don't know. I think it might be because I have like I don't know if I've ever seen that. I've also saw the cyberpunk one for I think it was the fire guy. Damn, it's been a long time. I can't even remember Todoroki's brother. Toya.
Damn, bros dropping major, massive spoiler reveals. Thank God I'm that far in the series.
But what do you mean? Was it not revealed they're related?
It was, yeah, but it's not that
but like
long
early
ago.
On?
Like 2 years ago, man. Like, come on, man.
Oh, shit. I thought that shit was like revealed in like episode 3.
What?
Whoops.
No, you that is a anybody? Huge, huge reveal when Dobby's hair changes and like he refers to Endeavor as like his father, I think, and stuff like that. Like, that's a crazy reveal, dog. No. I mean, we always assumed it, but man, dude, there's a potential.
I guess you're right.
No, that was a huge reveal. That was a huge like discussion point in the community, as if Dobby was actually a Todoroki or not. And he is. So, anywho, I was just curious about what you had to say, but I didn't realize. I will say though, to defend Dotto's original point, these are still pretty tame. I guess like I come from a league based background where like I spent a lot of money on skins in League of Legends. And don't get me wrong, there are some lame ass skins in League, but like they do sometimes, or a lot of times they go pretty like above and beyond with those skins. And I'm actually on this database website for Ultra Rumble. Cool that this game is big enough they have something like that, because like I come from a land of Dokkan and Legends where I wonder if this is actually ran by Hydros. It'd be interesting if it was. Anyway, this is cool, though. This game has enough support that they've built out an entire fan-type website that literally I can look at all the different costumes available in the game. All I'm saying is these still feel a little tame.
They are a little tame, but if they're different, that's all I was complaining about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's still cool nonetheless. There was a Santa Claus fit. Whoa! Wait, this is... I don't think I've ever seen anyone... All right, you'll have to tell me, Dotto. Have you ever seen this? This is really cool. It's a Endeavor in a samurai fit?
Probably not.
So maybe Ultra Rumble was paving the way for Project Multi for us.
Maybe they're changing the game. Maybe they're changing it up.
I had not seen this. Had you?
No.
And before, this is like actually spoilers, and I just spoiled someone. Like, this is like data download.
The number one Ultra Rumble fan. No.
Yeah,
no.
I didn't know this yet. What? Fierce Fire General? Fuck. Nanogenics leaking stuff again. All right. Anyway, we got a couple more comments here. Custom battle. This is from Frankie. Custom battles need playlists, like how Super Mario Maker 2 let you create worlds. Let people make whole story modes. I think that. Again, I just don't think there's any saving that mode in Sparking Zero. I'm just being honest. I think like Super Mario Maker 2, the entire basis of that game is that it is meant to, like, here are the levels we made, right? The levels like the actual dev team made. And then now here is an entire network of insane fan-made, you know, levels. That game is entirely built on the idea that you'll do this. This is a tacked on thing, which, you know, we were just talking about how we miss tacked on things. That's cool in and of itself, but I think the custom battle is not having voice lines. And like, I think we all thought there'd be voice lines. This is just mostly because of my own internal hype. And so I shouldn't have done this, but when Sean Schimmel comes out and says he recorded like 80 to 100 hours of voice lines for this game, and now we've seen the story mode's pretty bare and there are a lot of characters, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, If I took all the lines that all the different Gokus say, like, is that still coming out to 100 hours? I guess the interactions between all the different characters, yeah.
It might, but that just because there's so many Gokus, you know, like, he probably just was in there slaving away.
I guess I just thought that meant voice lines for this custom mode once we knew that was a thing. Like, I really thought that meant, because I think that takes away from some of the experience. Do you not agree?
It absolutely does. Like, playing, like, trying to record them, like, I think it's a mode where it can be really fun. But when you go to record it and I realize I have to read it, I'm like, well, this is kind of weird.
Yeah,
it would be way cooler if you could like have somebody read it out.
Yeah, or just access the already pre-built in voice lines. Like, there's already tons of voice lines that exist in the game. Why can't we access those to build out scenes as well?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I was just saying that a bit overwhelmingly negative, but I was just saying that because I just don't think there's any way of truly 100% saving that mode for like most people. But anyway, Jack BMH comments, I really thought the Diamond plus Sparking Zero combo would have carried this franchise for 6 months to a year, but public opinion has soured on both projects and it feels like Dragon Ball is just fading. I do not agree with this at all.
I think fading is a big way to, like, that's a big way to say it. Like, I think that's a little overdramatic. I don't think he's wrong that opinions have soured. Daima maybe not so much. I feel like Daima honestly doesn't have a big public opinion outside of like core Dragon Ball fans. Like, I don't really see, like, you know, normal Joe Schmoes talking about Daima, you know, yeah, which is bad in and of itself, but yes. Sparking Zero, I actually do see normal Joe Schmoes being like, oh man, I fucking, like, the, you know, there's the meme, like, me going back in time to get myself to stop ordering the Ultimate Edition of Sparking. I actually think public opinion on Sparking Zero has soured.
Yeah,
I don't think it's entirely fair, but, you know, it's the truth is the truth, you know.
But I think lumping it in with like Dragon Ball as a whole is fading, I think, is just not true, especially given the fact of how we literally started this entire episode talking about the fact that, like, it's back up to being the number one IP for Toei. So, like, it's
yeah, I think it's still fine, right? Like, it'll always be fine. We went through, I mean, Dragon Ball survived through a period where it was just actually over and it was actually done and it was, you know, fine.
Yeah. If you don't include Breakers, which most people would not, we went from 2020 until the end of 2024 with no new game and only one new movie. That's it.
Damn, Fighters saved my life then, because I didn't even feel that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, you did get, like, Kakar came out in January 2020. You didn't get your Final Fighters DLC until March of 2021. So, like, Fighters, I mean, yeah, Fighters was 3 years of over 3 years of pure
great
raw,
times, great times,
strong support on a game.
Damn.
The last thing I wanted to say before we gave a rating to this is that I saw a comment and I'm like, that is very true. And it was, if we were doing this podcast I didn't screenshot it, so I don't know where this was. But if we were doing this podcast over Dragon Ball Super, a lot of our comments would be probably similar. And I was like, that's pretty true, because if we were watching Dragon Ball Super weekly, especially if we were on episode 16 of Dragon Ball Super, that's in the middle of ROF.
Yeah, no, I would want to fucking blow my brains out metaphorically.
Yeah.
I'm not at all saying that per episode basis, you know, and maybe I do want to fight back against this point, because like if you get us in the Goku Black arc, you know, maybe not, you know, like especially on a first time watch. Nano, you're telling me you wouldn't be dialed in seeing evil Goku on a podcast?
I remember that. Like, again, I'm on record. I didn't start watching weekly. I didn't join in weekly with the fandom until we were like 30 episodes in. Like, I didn't even start immediately on U6 versus U7. I was even like a late bloomer to that. You know what I mean? And so, no, I remember watching week to week on Goku Black Arc, and that was fire as shit. I was even doing some like review videos on my YouTube channel, which I did not do because I was just that excited about those episodes. So
exactly. I feel like, yes, people can make the point that if we were watching Dragon Ball Super and on this pace, yes, we would probably still be bitching and whining. But, you know, 20 episode series versus weekly series for however many years.
Yeah.
Like, you can pick and choose, and there would probably be some 16 episode stretches where it wouldn't necessarily be that. Beginning of Goku Black, you know, Tournament of Power. Like, Tournament of Power, even if the episode was shit, I was always looking forward to next week because somebody could get eliminated, you know? Yeah.
I think the thing that loses people a lot is that this is a limited series. And maybe I'm putting too much weight on that, but like, it's a limited series. I don't know. Like, this is presumably, assuming it doesn't end in like, teases a second season. Like, this is a one-off, one and
there's
done.
There's no second season.
Like, this is it. Like, this is it. So, like, I think that does, like, matter more. And to be devil's advocate for that, you know, I didn't do a podcast week to week on Dragon Ball Super. And if I sat here and talked to Dotto for an hour about each Dragon Ball Super episode, I'm sure we could pick. You can pick anything apart when you're talking about it into the depth that we're talking about these from week to week. You can find anything to either like or dislike about something when you're going that granular about it. But yeah, what Dotto said, exactly, he nailed it on the head. I was gonna say the same thing. I don't think it's totally fair to compare. And also depending on where we were at in the series, like, no, it probably wouldn't have been the same. But like, this series has been great, and our average scores are still almost eights from both of us. Like, I just don't see how you can listen to our podcast and think that we don't like Daima. I think you're just like looking at thumbnails. So someone also commented on that. They're like, I wish that they wouldn't do like the YouTube like meta, but it's what works. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, these are still YouTube videos at the end of the day, and it is what it is. So, Dotto, are you ready to rate the episode? I know what I'm giving.
Yeah,
you.
I'm ready. Are you saying it, or who's saying it?
I think I held up last week, so I can say it. You can hold up this week.
Yeah. Go ahead. Ready. Yeah, I'm done.
All right, I'm going with a 7. I think it was a 7.
Okay. Any reason why?
The Gendamari Force was definitely a negative aspect of this episode. I don't know how you could see. I saw no, kind of the way we feel about Hybus, like, or the way you feel about Hybus, I think they were almost a net negative to me. Like, I don't know. They took away more from the episode than they actually gave it. But minus them, I actually enjoyed a lot of the other aspects of the show. And maybe part of it too was the anticipation of seeing if that was Hybus or Gloria or someone else also added points. But I don't even think it was just necessarily the transformation scene, but even more so than that, like, I just enjoyed all the interactions between that girl and between Goma. Cause like you said, like the animation was on point.
That was
the
best part.
The timing and everything of that was on point. And even though there wasn't much impact between, you know, Supreme Kai and his brother finally being together, I still enjoyed that sequence. I still enjoyed the tension. I enjoyed the running through the castle stuff. I would have almost scrapped the Gendamari Force section and just have us go immediately into the castle and have a bit of like adventure-esque stuff. If you guys are a Z rewatcher with us, one of the most recent arcs we watched was Fake Planet Namek, and they were going places and exploring different areas. And like, one of them was Bulma going into like a castle where she was tiny, and it was in like a big like room, and everything was like really big. Like, stuff like that could have happened inside Goma's castle. That would have almost been more interesting to me. But we still got a mini taste of that. So, I don't know. I, overall, take away the Inamari section, really enjoyed the rest of this episode and felt it was far more interesting than last week with the played-up tension where there was actually some semi-real tension. I mean, did I think Dende was going to die? No. But this tension worked way better than that of last week. So, that's where my 7 comes from.
I hear that. I gave it a 6 just because...
Okay, so better than last week.
Better than last week, because last week aggressively pissed me off, and I hate to say it, but this week also just pissed me off. If it wasn't for the girl and Goma and Goma transformation, and finally seeing that this is for sure the beginning of the end that we've been talking about, or I've been talking about for 2 weeks, this could have been a lot worse. But yeah, no, it could have been a lot worse, because the whole Ginyu Force shit, aggressively bad. It was aggressively bad. I'm not even sure why these characters are in this show. This, it reeks of money laundering. This is just the producer of the show wanted to pay the voice actors, and that's it. That's the only reason I can think of. Unless they fuse or something. I don't know.
Dog, swallowed. I don't believe that. I hope I'm wrong.
And Degesu. I like Degesu. Totally wasted. No interaction with his brother. Completely fucking useless and gets beaten by a hat. Fucking joke of a character. Hopefully he does something else, but it's probably over.
I wanted to bring up one last thing, because as of today, the bet is completely dead. We made a Glorio bet. Now, I won't lie, I can't remember if it was whether he died or whether he was revealed as the villain, but we lost no matter what. I said episode 15, you said episode 16, and that was also, we made this bet, we didn't know when it ended, so I put in parentheses 4 episodes before end.
Wow, we were right about that.
And somehow he still has not been revealed to be working with her. Now, one thing I guess I forgot to mention about the overall episode is that before we get to the preview, there is one final moment of the episode, and that is they get to the Tamagami 1, they realize the Dragon Ball is gone. Glorio still does not reveal to them that he's not working with them. And Arinsu shows up with Duinku, and then the episode ends. So that was one, I guess, like major detail that I did not mention in my sort of like recap I did earlier. So that's my bad. So anyways, we somehow have made it 16 full episodes in, and Glorio is still doing this shtick of working with all of them, which we still imagine he's going to turn, like, he's not going to remain a heel. Like he's going to turn babyface. Like he's going to actually be good. I think it'd be cool. I'd actually be more interested at this point if he just did not do anything good at all, and he went full. He said, like, "Fuck you" to all of them, and he just like full on RNC. Like,
it would be the twist we desperately need at this point.
Yeah. But anyways, that bet is dead. We were both wrong. That's pretty much like that bet is 100% dead. Our Vegeta bet was you said Vegeta wouldn't show up until episode 17. I said he wouldn't show up until 13, and he was officially part of the crew in episode 10. And then last but not least, we had an adult bet, which is still ongoing for you. For me, it's dead. I said they would be adults by episode 16. You said they'd be adults by episode 18. I actually think you could be right. Unironically. Oh,
you think we're going back to adults?
I think, so next week is episode 17. I think, no joke, that by the end of 18, they could be adults. You could actually have been on the money for that. Which I think I owe you a steak dinner if that's the case.
Okay. Maybe Daima pays out a little bit here.
Anyway, Dotto, I think more importantly than that, I feel like I hear some music. Do you hear that? Yeah,
thank fucking God, dude. We've been yapping for an hour and a half. Dude, this music needs to get us out of here, dude.
What?